Today, the letter to Corinth by Paul. For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it's the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scholar? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, God decided through the foolishness of the gospel to save those who believe. For Jews ask for signs and Greeks desire wisdom, but we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. May God help us to understand this word from our ancient scriptures. So, last Wednesday, besides being Valentine's Day, was the official start of the season of Lent. The men didn't burn any pancakes, so we didn't have any ashes on Wednesday. But Lent lasts for 40 days if you don't count Sundays. You don't count Sundays in Lent. They're always resurrection days, so they're left out of the equation. So Lent is sometimes a season when people deliberately give up something in order to engage in some kind of preparation for Easter. While this can be productive, it's often simply an exercise in self-denial so that you can prove that you did it. But it has no lasting impact on our lives, just to deny ourselves for those days, which really is the purpose of any practice over Lent, to change our lives. Usually what happens after Easter is people who have given up something go right back to it. They choose to indulge again in that substance or behavior that we chose to give up for Lent, so it really has no impact on us. Lent itself, though, in order to be meaningful, is really about taking stock of our lives in a more intentional way so that we can discover more of the holy or God in our lives. So that when we get to Easter then, we can celebrate this new way of understanding ourselves and the self-awareness that it offers us if we've engaged in that kind of reflection over the Lenten season. So this year through Lent, we're not asking to give up something. We're actually going to seek something. We're going to seek ways to find the holy through the season of Lent. And the theme for the season is facing the cross, finding the holy in hard times. Facing the cross, finding the holy or God in hard times. Because perhaps what we need most of all of us, is something that will sustain us through life in a way that is truly life-giving. To be able to see more of the holy, or spirit, or God, or whatever name you have for that great transcendent mystery. That's what we're seeking, more of that in our lives. So that we can recognize then when that we are immersed in and surrounded by this beautiful holiness all of the time. It's all around us all the time. And in recognizing this and becoming better at recognizing this, our lives can become more rich and beautiful and whole, even when we are going through hard times. Sometimes we can't recognize what's all around us because we're so immersed in it and used to it that we become oblivious to something that's always there. It's like we're not aware of the air that we breathe because we take it so for granted until breathing becomes difficult. So today we start here at the cross. Keith, actually crosses. Three crosses. I have stood at the foot of these crosses many times over the years at Kingsfold Retreat Center in a field when you go on a little hike and pondered their meaning. For moments, sometimes for an hour. Each time when I do that, I'm taking something of the holy away with me because they challenge me to consider my life in their shadow, what I am experiencing and what the world is experiencing in the shadow of the cross. Paul, in his letter to the Corinthians, proclaimed that the cross was foolishness to those who did not understand, but it is God's wisdom to those who did. You know, this is a pretty bizarre notion, the idea that there is wisdom in the cross. How can the cross possibly represent God's wisdom? After all, the cross was an instrument of torture and terror. It was used by the Romans as a threat to anyone who would get out of hand in the Roman Empire. It was usually reserved for the poor or the useless rabble-rousers or for criminals. That's what they used the cross for. How could the cross be an instrument of wisdom and grace? How did Christians come to understand that out of the cross? And how can we find the holy here? Paul says, because the cross is a symbol of God's wisdom. Because the cross gives us a window into God's way of working in the world. It's how God shows up in the world. And God shows up as vulnerability, brokenness, weakness, humility, and sacrifice. That's how God, and that's where God shows up. It reminds us, the cross reminds us that God doesn't show up in power or might or riches. Anything that the world sees as wise, the cross contradicts. The holy shows up in our lives when we are able to admit that we are vulnerable and make mistakes and have need. That's when God shows up. When we are too weak and vulnerable and helpless to do things for ourselves. That we are powerless over many of our circumstances, especially when things are difficult in our lives. And this is hard for us to admit because the world's wisdom says we should be self-reliant, independent, and strong, and never show our weakness or our vulnerability. But the cross says the wisdom is to be open with all that we are. With all of our weakness, with all of our vulnerability, because Christ hanging on that cross was nothing but weak and vulnerable. It has been proven over and over again, just look at the world, that might and power and all of the money in the world will not fix human problems. There is no power in the world that can fix what's going on in the world. It really is only when our hearts are open, when we are vulnerable to admit that we are not strong, that we have pain, that we have weakness, that we can't fix ourselves, and we admit our need, that we begin to come together to support and care for and strengthen each other. So the first place that I'm talking about on the first Sunday of Lent that we can find the holy, is when we are willing to admit that we are struggling and in need. Because that cracks us wide open. There is humility and grace and openness in this place, a relief at recognizing that we don't have to do everything ourselves. and openness to what might be possible if we are patient and willing to wait on God for healing and hope, forgiveness, and surrender. To surrender all. It is then that we are in a completely receptive place for the holy to show up. The psalmist says, "Be still and know that I am God. Be still." Several years ago, I was quite ill and didn't know what was going on, and so landed in emergency several times before they figured out what was going on, and I had such intense joint pain that I could barely walk and couldn't change gears in my car, couldn't do anything. And it was probably one of the lowest points in my life because I couldn't fix it. There was nothing I could do. I didn't know what was going on. I couldn't be strong. I couldn't. And I really, at that point in my life, have to admit that I really didn't have enough energy to really care whether I lived or died. Other people have been in that place, I know. And it was a strange place for me because I was used to being independent and doing it myself. And now I was completely dependent on other people to help me. They did, of course, I'm standing here today. And you might think it's medical intervention that turned my life around, and it was, of course, certainly instrumental in my healing, and I am very grateful, but it wasn't the turning point for me toward hope that something could happen. That wasn't the turning point. I was one night in emergency being cared for by this young doctor who was probably 20 years younger than me, and she was sending me to another room to get some tests. And I was in one of those blue gowns, you know, that are open at the back. And I had not the strength or the ability to even tie the strings on the back. So I'm walking down the hall of the hospital, just flapping in the back, you know. and as I'm walking along, I feel somebody come up behind me and just gently tie those ties on the back of my gown. It was that doctor who had done that, that busy doctor. She had taken the time to walk by and see something that might give me comfort or something that I needed, and she tied those ties. And in that moment, I knew it immediately. Even as sick as I was, I knew that the Holy had touched me. And that was the turning point for me. I knew there was hope. She had given me what I realized. This is probably one of my definitive memories of that whole time, is that person, that small moment of caring. I had experienced the Holy in one of the hardest times of my life, and I knew it. Now, don't get me wrong, the medical team did work miracles, I don't deny that. They did their jobs and they did it well, but that doctor gave me the gift of grace because she didn't have to do it. She gave it to me out of a place of humility and care. And it's still a holy moment in my life. Do we know it's the Holy when we experience these unexpected moments of grace? Because they are. They are gifts of love and grace when we are able to see and receive them for what they are. And they happen all the time in our lives. This is what we need to tune ourselves into. A touch, a word, a little text, a listening ear when we need to tell a story, someone who offers to help when our hands are full or opens a door, gives a smile, a hug, a small gift. It's often so subtle that we miss it. God doesn't come usually in big ways. God comes and touches us in small moments. Maybe this Lent, we don't need to give something up. We need instead to find those moments of holiness where they show up in the simplest of ways when we're just having maybe a rough day or things are tough. God's wisdom is so contrary to the world's ways that we often miss it. It doesn't come in strength or power or might. God touches us individually in small moments. By the way, God does not help those who help themselves. That's not in Scripture. If people think they can do it themselves, there's so much ego there that God can't get through. God doesn't help those who help themselves. That's the world saying that. We are at our strongest when we are vulnerable, helpless, and willing to admit it. Look for the holy in those places that are hard for us to be completely open to our helplessness. Facing the cross, we see God's wisdom in the vulnerability of God. So, look and see, for the holy is there. Let's take a moment for reflection.